Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, well, happy Freedom Friday to everybody out there. Let me just throw a couple of political quick hits at you real fast here. A couple of inflation stories. Inflation hits lowest point in over 4 years. As April report, better than expected. That's some good news here to start this Freedom Friday with, but don't expect to hear much of that good news in the rest of the news. Another one from the dailywire.com. U.S. wholesale prices see biggest drop in 5 years, flying in the face of economist predictions. And then Axios shared this headline here. Hard data suggests that tariff-driven inflation and recession fears may be overblown. You don't say. This is another one of those Rush Limbaugh, see, I told you so moments. Once again, where the mainstream media, the legacy media, just falls flat on their faces. And I really need a red hat. There's this red hat now that says Trump was right about everything. I got to figure out a way to get my hands on one of those hats. But Becky Hillier's got a beautiful hat on this morning. She's got her red and black Rodeo Billings hat on, The red glasses and everything.
I know, and my black jacket. I'm just totally color coordinated this morning.
I was really excited. I think I saw David Allen's from the Nile Rodeo. I saw his Facebook post yesterday, and those beautiful, those Prefert panels are coming in for Billings to celebrate outdoor rodeo for the first time in a few years now.
Yeah, the outdoor arena, the construction on that is moving along nicely. And so yesterday we hit it just perfectly to where the last three shipments of those black panels came in right when I was out there trying to get pictures and video. And so those black panels, if you can imagine that, a rodeo arena, outdoor arena with just black panels all the way around, it's going to be so sharp, and we're going to have some gray gates in there as well. So it's going to look so nice, so sharp. So that right there is huge progress for us. When we saw those come in, you get a little more excited about envisioning everything that's going to happen in, a little less than 90 days. So
have you ever made the drive south of Hardin to Fort Smith along the Bighorn River?
Yes.
So we were driving out to the lake last Saturday morning, and I'm excited because I'm getting out on the water for the first time for the season, with the pontoon, got kids, grandma's tagging along too, and everybody. But so I'm excited to get to the lake, and then all of a sudden we make this turn, about halfway down to Fort Smith before we got to St. X, and you could see right up on the hill there was a big old party going on, and you could tell they were branding. So you could see all the pickups, all the horses, and I was like, all of a sudden I'm like, man, I want to go to the lake, but I want to go to the branding.
I'm sure they need my help.
That looks like a great time. Yeah. Oh, man. So it's kind of funny how you're like, you're on the way to one fun thing, but you're like, oh, that looks, right. Even though it's work, it's like, dang, because brandings are just one of the coolest things you can ever go to.
It really is a community event, isn't it? Like a branding is. It's kind of festive, and everybody getting together, chipping in and doing the work they need to do, and it's fun.
This would be a good story for our website. We should, what do they call it, crowdsource, where you ask the listeners and you ask your Facebook friends, who has the best branding food in Montana? What's the best branding you've been to just for the food alone, for the potluck food that people bring? Top five, that would be a fun one.
Yeah, call it in.
I don't know if you can find it on Yelp or anything.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers, a few thundershowers developing, mainly in the afternoon. High temperature readings will range from the upper 50s to the mid-60s. For tonight, some scattered showers possible early. Temperatures will then drop back off to the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Pete Rose, who died almost 8 months ago, has suddenly been rehabilitated, and that gives the sports loudmouth something to argue about. Rose, as you undoubtedly know, was banned for life from Major League Baseball after betting on games that he played for and managed with the Cincinnati Reds. It's a cardinal rule that you can't do that. But now baseball said, well, the guy's not around anymore, so we're going to say that he's eligible for the Hall of Fame. That requires a separate vote. There is a political angle to this, which is that President Trump met with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred and said Rose should be reinstated. And he actually put out a tweet saying this is long overdue. Baseball should get off its fat butt and do this. But a lot of people think it's not the right move. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hey.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Just as we went to the news and weather break there, Becky's like, ooh, let me show you this. I was like, hold on, because first I need coffee. So I had to go down and get my cup of coffee. I got my cup of coffee. I'm good. Becky, you know, this was kind of fun. We were talking about going to the lake and taking the pontoon boat. I got a great note from a friend in Butte yesterday, and she's a military spouse and now a firefighter spouse. Her husband's a, you know, kick-ass Army Ranger veteran. But anyway, she popped in at Brett's RV in Butte. And so she sent me a note. She said, hey, Brett said to say hi. So that was kind of cool. And so I was like, Brad is an Air Force veteran, and he was a JTAC in the Air Force, which is very cool. And he, even though he was Air Force, he went through Army Ranger school. So you got to tell your Ranger husband about that.
Very cool.
That was kind of cool. They were there, you know, checking some stuff out. And one of the sales guys was like, wait a minute, did you say your husband was military? You got to meet Brad over here. So Montana's just a small world like that. Everybody knows everybody.
And I know back when we were doing the honor flight, we had this statistic that Montana had the second largest number of veterans per capita.
Sometimes we're number one. It goes back
right.
and forth.
Yeah. Second to Alaska, I think it was. But veterans are very welcome in Montana. It's something we're very proud of to be able to say that we have such a large population of veterans. And, you know, you serve your country, and we're always very appreciative of that. And that's something I never did, but then I like to serve those who have served. So I feel like that service of a different kind.
Oh, yeah. Well, and a police officer's spouse, I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's some days where you wonder, and all you can do is sit at home with those butterflies in your stomach, and especially as this is National Police Week and
right.
Law Enforcement Memorial Day as well. Mm-hmm. I know there's just a lot of people that are being remembered here with the Police Week and Law Enforcement Memorial Day in particular as well.
Yeah, and I do hear a lot of stories when Mitch comes home that, you know, other people don't hear a lot of what's going on. And so I have so much respect and just pray every day for the safety of all of those in law enforcement, any kind of civil servant job, really. But especially in law enforcement, because they are on the front lines in our communities day after day, and they help keep order, you know, and people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So
they keep order, but they also face, you know, intense scrutiny while doing a job where they're risking their lives for us as well. Mm-hmm. That reminded me, I saw just a, you know, real heartfelt post on social media by Captain Kent O'Donnell, great mm-hmm. guy, Yellowstone County Sheriff, the captain, and he was remembering, of course, fallen law enforcement officers on this law enforcement memorial. And of course, he was remembering Yellowstone County Sheriff Deputy Dave Breeze, who died in the line of duty back in 2006. And then, tragically, this was only 1 year ago, June 3rd. Mm-hmm. We're already at the middle of May here, June 3rd of or June 2nd, early June of 2024. My story was published around June 2nd, June 3rd. But yeah, you had this heartbreaking story out of Gila River, Arizona, where a young man whose dad died in the line of duty as a Yellowstone County Sheriff's deputy lost his life while serving as a police officer in Arizona that Saturday before, Josh Breeze, the son. So remembering not only the father, but the son as well.
You know, I did a story on Josh when he was in high school. He went to Billings West High School. He had emancipated himself from his mother after his father died. He was only six when his father died. And they moved to Rapid City after that. And I don't know all the particulars, but it was a situation that Josh felt like he needed to remove himself from. So he became emancipated, moved back to Billings. And as a high school student, Aaron, 16, 17 years old, he lived in his own apartment. He would get up every morning at 2 o'clock, go up to the airport, unload planes from the UPS planes that would come in. Then he would go to school all day long and repeat that process. And he did it because he wanted to follow in the footsteps of his father. And he wanted to attend Dawson Community College and get his degree in criminal justice. I'm not exactly sure where he graduated from, but I kind of followed him over the years, did see that he was a member of law enforcement and had gotten hired in Arizona, and I was so proud of him and so excited for him because this was a man who is young man who is just exceptional in every way. And then last year, as I was scrolling through Facebook, I saw a story about a young police officer in Arizona who had been killed in the line of duty, and I opened it up and it was Josh, and my heart just sank. But I thought, how amazing. It's so tragic that he died at such a young age, but how amazing that he was able to fulfill his dream. He felt so close to his father. He was able to follow in his father's footsteps. And then in my mind, I just imagined the reunion that they had, being together again, and how proud his dad was of him. So yeah. It was very, very sad to see that, but I was just so proud of him that in his short young life, he accomplished so much, he overcame so much, and he was able to really ultimately fulfill that goal of being just like his dad.
The Bible talks about finishing the race well. It doesn't say how old you have to be to finish right. The race well. He finished right. The race well.
And he was doing what he loved.
Fortunately, at a very young age.
I
yeah.
know, tragic.
I pulled up my story from about a year ago here, and you know, after the news hit hard back home here in Montana, of the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office reported that the whole team was heartbroken and in disbelief upon receiving word of Josh's death, or Joshy, as many yeah. of them had called him. They said at the time, quote, "All we can say is Godspeed and rest easy, knowing Dave and Josh are together again. Both left this world serving their community and doing what they loved." Yeah. So what a remarkable story. Speaking of Captain Kent O'Donnell, I saw he was in Washington, D.C. for Law Enforcement Memorial Week, and I think I saw a photo of him with Congressman Troy Downing. And very cool, FBI Director Cash Patel.
Oh.
Kent and Cash. I feel like they should start their own TV show, the Kent and Cash.
That'd be a good podcast, right?
Yeah, Kent and Cash. Or maybe they should just cruise the streets together. It'd be like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, comedians having coffee or whatever that show was, you know, Kent and Cash.
I like it.
I'm going to message him right now.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a show for you. All right, back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps it all just comes down to language. American trade deficits are something many of us aren't proud of, and our current president is determined to address. But what if we called them capital spending surpluses instead? When we buy more goods from a country that they import from us, the net result is that they have more dollars and we have more stuff. What do they do with the money? The answer is buy capital goods from us. In some cases, that's financial capital. Think corporate bonds or federal government debt. Could be real estate capital, or could be physical equipment like shuttle loader facilities in the Golden Triangle. And it's almost certainly equity on Wall Street, ownership shares of businesses large and small. Many of these things are good, or at least they could be, especially if those investments are used to grow businesses here. In the case of the federal borrowing, it's less clear, since debt purchases by foreigners just prop up deficit spending. That capital spending happens here because we remain a good place to invest. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. The U.S. earlier this week announcing a trade war pause with China and temporary lower rates of tariffs. This after negotiations in Geneva, Switzerland. Still, there's a major open-ended issue to resolve on illegal fentanyl. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Trade Representative Jameson Greer with little positive news about where China stands on stopping the outbound flow of fentanyl into the U.S. Bessent saying he hopes China will be as tough on bad actors dealing with fentanyl's flow into the United States as it is domestically on fentanyl. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. There is a far pharmaceutical version made by drug companies used for surgery or treating severe pain. The CDC says it's 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine, but it's also illegally made. That version most commonly found in powder form, pressed into pills, or sometimes laced into other substances. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll break down the absolute latest on Trump's big, incredible trip to the Middle East and the continued impact that it is having. Plus, we will break down everything in the world of tariff battles and the big, beautiful bill. What is all going to happen there? We'll give you the latest as we head into the weekend. Make sure you don't miss it. Come hang with us on Clay and Buck.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hear News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
For the first time ever, the United States had a youth team compete in the Zoetis World Angus Youth Competition that was held in conjunction with the World Angus Forum in Australia. And one of the young Angus leaders that participated in the youth competition and one of the four contestants from the United States on Team USA was Claire Stevenson of Stevenson Angus here in Montana. She shared with me more about the competition.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics.
Stevenson and Team USA walked away as the grand champion team of the World Angus Youth Competition, and she left us with these thoughts.
It's been incredible to get to meet all these different people from around the world and make these new connections and meet young producers that we may someday be doing business with in the future across the world.
Claire is the daughter of Daryl and Sarah Stevenson of Stevenson Angus and currently pursuing her graduate degree from the University of Georgia. Again, Team USA, the grand champion team for the World Angus Forum Youth Competition. I'm Lane Nordblond.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Becky, what was that thing you were saying about the birds and the birds singing in the mornings?
Oh, yeah. Why do birds sing in the mornings?
Well, I already have the answer.
You have the answer.
You gave me the answer during
right.
the break.
It's because they don't have to go to work.
Yeah, there you go. That's funny that you said that because this morning I slept in a little bit this morning because we had a great event last night. It was for the Boy Scouts of America, their fundraiser. I've been meaning to go to it every year and finally got to go last night, but they had out at the Swift River Ranch, they had cigar, whiskey, Montana blend event, and so I got to see Matty Clark from Horse Soldier Bourbon was there, and then of course Ken Weinheimer from Tatanka Cigars.
Nice.
And so that was a ton of fun. And you know, at first I was kind of wondering what the weather was going to be like, but it ended up being the perfect night for a cigar, and you know, because it was cool, but it wasn't, you know, too windy mm-hmm. or anything like that. So sitting outdoors, and then, oh man, it was just an incredible event with incredible folks, and
that's a beautiful venue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an incredible.
It's right, so nice,
right by the Yellowstone River, and
yeah.
But so this morning, I actually when I went out to my pickup, I could hear the birds singing, and I was like, oh yeah, because usually I get up before the birds are singing, mm-hmm. so they even the birds are like, yeah, we're not singing yet. But today I could hear the birds singing.
They're singing a little louder because it's Friday and they don't have to go to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're celebrating.
Yeah, and then tomorrow they'll be singing and then they'll be waking me up on the one day I get to sleep in. Stinking birds. Yeah. You had something on Facebook and, you know, slow me. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm going to read it first. And then Becky Hillier, being the official news anchor that she is, she's going to give it the proper read.
Yeah.
So I read this post on Facebook from Becky Hillier because she always shares good stuff, funny stuff, heartwarming stuff, you name it. But I got the first half. I just didn't get the second half. It says, if you lose your khakis in Texas, it means you can't find your pants. If you lose your khakis in Boston, it means you can't start your car.
Yeah, sounds weird, right?
So at first I didn't get it. But then when you read it in the official anchor woman voice, oh, I get it now.
Okay, here we go. If you lose your khakis in Texas, it means you can't find your pants. If you lose your khakis in Boston, it means you can't start your car.
Ah, there we see when she said the car. Yeah, the car. It reminds me, did you ever watch the movie Days of Thunder back in the day?
Oh, way back in the day, yeah.
So actually, when I was in Vegas for the SHOT Show this last time, I met the Hollywood stuntman who was Tom Cruise's stuntman in Days of Thunder.
Oh, very cool.
He was also here for Far and Away when they came to Montana and filmed that. So he was on horseback as they were planting the flag for their homestead. But he was telling me, yeah, apparently they're doing a remake of Days of Thunder. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. But the reason I finally got it when he said the car is because Nicole Kidman, remember, he's in the rental car, and I think he's leaving the hospital, and then he starts racing through the streets of Boston, and she's like, get out of the car, Cole, get out of the car, Cole. And that's why I remember the car, get out of the car, Cole. But
you can't start your car.
Yeah. Some of those Boston accents, man, you have trouble understanding what they might even be saying.
Oh, a lot of the accents from back east, Staten Island, the Boston accent, and then they come out here and they think we have an accent. I get crap all the time for how I say bag.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody teases me about how I say bag.
Beg or bag or
bag.
Because they say
or bag.
Or, yeah, I just say bag.
So now I'm so self-conscious when I have to say bag, because when I worked in Wisconsin especially, everybody would tease me. Do you hear her? She said bag. No, I didn't. I said bag. You said bag.
What about milk? Do you say like chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk.
Milk. Okay, so because I think Lane Nordland, who just had the Farm and Ranch Report, I think he says milk, but it's more like mel.
Mel.
Instead of mil,
instead of milk, it's milk.
Yeah.
I say milk.
Yeah. See, now, speaking of pronunciations, I always, you know, growing up in Montana, you always say roof instead of roof, creek instead of creek.
I say creek.
And see, being a broadcaster and, you know,
you
broadcasting, it's so now you'll hear me say creek instead of crick, and you know, and I almost feel guilty doing it, but it's a broadcaster thing.
And now you have me second guessing how I say milk, but I do say I and not milk.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. See, it's a good thing you're not a news anchor now, because now you'd be second guessing every word, every pronunciation.
Yeah. No one would be able to believe anything I said. Yeah.
Well, God, we already had a incredible bright side story, just talking in a law enforcement memorial story, kind of all wrapped into one.
Yeah.
But what do you have for us today with your look at the bright side, Becky and the bright side story?
Yeah, well, I came across this story on Facebook last night. I don't know how old it is. I don't know how recent it is. But it just really shows that going the extra mile and being joyful in your job, helping others, really does pay off. So this family had gone to see a Cardinals game, which was very out of the ordinary for them because they had a young son who had some medical issues, and it was really difficult for them to get out of the house. So a lot of times they wouldn't do anything. Well, they ended up at the last minute taking up some friends on the invitation to come to the game. They forgot to bring something that was necessary for their son that he needed. And so they asked for assistance from someone in the stadium to help them find what they needed.
Was this a Cardinals baseball or football game?
Baseball.
Baseball game. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in 60 seconds for the rest of the story. Good with Becky Hillier, looking at the bright side. So this family, you know, takes their kid to this Cardinals game, and kid has some special needs, et cetera. And, you know, they're rushing to get to this game. They get a last-minute opportunity, and then they realize, oh, man, we forgot something very important.
Yes. So their son has a medical condition. They didn't state specifically what it was, but he dehydrates very easily. But if he drinks too much water, he gets very sick. So they found through the process of elimination that milk is something that is safe for him to drink. They get to the baseball game. You can imagine there's no milk in sight. But the mom realizes, oh, shoot, I forgot to bring the milk. She finds a stadium worker, asks if the stadium worker can find them any milk. That stadium worker walked them all over the stadium to different points here and there, asking if there was any milk. finally found them a place in the stadium that sold some milk, got the little boy a straw so he could drink his milk. And the mother said what the stadium worker didn't know is that under my son's shirt, he had a feeding tube. And that if we give him too much water, he can get very sick. And so he needed the milk. The stadium worker didn't ask why they needed the milk so bad. She said if he thought that I was just giving in to my spoiled child, he never let on. He just met us with so much kindness and helped us every step of the way. It took two full innings for them to get all around the stadium to finally find a place where they had some milk. Then he walked them all the way back to their seats so they wouldn't get lost. And I thought, how amazing is that? In a day and age where so many people just do the bare minimum, just phone it in sometimes in their jobs, or they let outside pressures and worries and concerns make them grumpy, and they don't meet people where they're at, and they're not very hospitable. But this was customer service done right. The stadium worker didn't ask any questions, took them by the hand, led them all over Kingdom Come for two whole innings of the game, and finally found what they needed. And I thought, because of that, this family was able to feel normal for a few hours that night, and they decided they were going to do all the things, all the fun things, and be a normal family. And thanks to the person at the stadium, they were able to do that that evening. And she said he was just so kind to my son, and I will never forget that.
That's incredible. Yeah, because how many times have people been involved in customer service situations where,
oh my gosh,
you know, not only do you have to explain yourself and your situation, and then they still don't care, and they're like, well, blah, blah, blah.
And it's none of their business.
Yeah, and it's like it's none of their business, but you're like, instead, how about just like, hey, I need something, mm-hmm. and without me having to spend 15 minutes explaining to you the seriousness of the situation and why I need this, if somebody just says they need something, you figure out how to make it happen. And the difference between being a good person and being good customer service versus the opposite.
Yeah, I've seen this quote posted a lot. A lot of my friends have posted it in the last few months, but it says, hats off to people who for whom being kind is a way of life and not a strategy. And I thought, that is the embodiment of that quote. This person was just kind. That was their natural instinct, was to be kind and helpful to these people and provide that great customer service. And, oh, man, if you see somebody like that, let me know, because I love to give props and kudos to people who are doing the right thing.
Or maybe there's a Facebook page for good customer service. Yeah. There's always pages for the bad ones, but where's the page for the...
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right, great to have Becky Hillier with us. We'll have George Blackard coming up in the 8 o'clock hour for Freedom Friday. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Gordon Chang on the show. Yeah, that's right, Gordon Chang, the China expert here. He's also the author of a book called Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Gordon Chang will join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Friday, June 6th, he'll be speaking at the ACE Civic Center in Columbus. That's a big new facility. I've seen that right off the interstate there. It looks like a great spot. And then Saturday, June 7th, he's going to be at the Miles City Patriot Roundtable at the Miles City Livestock on Saturday, June 7th as well. But, yeah, he'll be with us here in the 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. A lot of stuff to talk about this morning here on the show. Some Montana stories to get to, some national stories to get to. One big topic I want to get to is this topic of birthright citizenship that is in front of the United States Supreme Court this week. This, to me, will be one of the most consequential cases before the United States Supreme Court of our lifetimes. This is part of the reason why we have such a problem with illegal immigration right now. And they've basically been, you had a previous Supreme Court ruling that has been trampling on the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution, the founders' intent, was never to allow for birthright citizenship, where, hey, you know, speaking of China, you know, a communist Chinese party supporter can come to the United States of America, give birth to a baby, and then all of a sudden, oh, the baby's an American citizen. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the Constitution said. That's not what the founders intended. It was never that way. for the beginning of our country. But then, you know, an activist Supreme Court said, no, we're going to change that. We're going to allow for birthright citizenship. And it's just completely outrageous. And so so that's why I'm pleased to see that this case is before the United States Supreme Court once again, so they can right that wrong, so we can fix this country. And plug one of the leaks in the rescue ship here. But I'm also nervous because I know many of us don't have the utmost confidence in a lot of these Supreme Court justices either, because so many of them are just so squishy. I mean, you just have to be so squishy and so establishment to get through the confirmation process to begin with some of those squishy Republican senators. Like Murkowski out of Alaska and more. So anyway, but Ted Cruz weighed in. He was on with Hannity last night talking birthright citizenship and more. So we'll get to that here in a second. First, though, let's get to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's going on?
Well, Aaron, you just had that little segment about the lady was talking about the little boy needing milk and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I had a few years ago, I was at a Walgreens, and there was a young lady, special needs, you know, and she was, you know, you could tell that she's, you know, she's having difficulty in her life, and she had a bunch of items, and they were more personal items, but she gets to the cash register, and she is trying her hardest to buy them items, and she wasn't coming up with enough money. And she was, bless her heart, Aaron, she was digging in her purse. She was trying to get the right change. And I just finally looked at the teller there, and I just kind of gave the teller a wink. And I reached to my wallet, and I grabbed that $20 bill and slid it around the corner and told her, here, take care of, you know, buy her, you know, I'll help buy her products. And, you know, so she still kept trying to give the money to the teller, trying to figure out how much and trying to count it out of her. You know, she just had a beautiful little purse, and she was just trying to do a good job. And the teller finally just says, no, we're good. You know, here's your money back, and, you know, keep your money. And, Aaron, I felt really good. I mean, here this little lady is trying to, and it was all personal type stuff. She's just trying to get by in life by herself with her little purse. And I felt really good that day.
Well, that's the thing, Steve. You know, anybody, like, I'll tell you, I've heard the same thing from our friends that go out and volunteer for Warriors in Quiet Waters. When I spent a few days volunteering for Warriors in Quiet Waters, I mean, we're out on some of the best water you could imagine with some incredible warriors and fishing guides and what they call the moms that volunteer in the kitchen out there, at the base of the Bridger Mountains, you know, cooking meals for these veterans, these warriors. And everybody will tell you, you will get far more out of volunteering than you feel like you gave. And that's certainly how I felt. I mean, but I think no matter what you do, you will get more out of giving than you will get out of, you know, oftentimes receiving. And so, yeah, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing, Steve. Great to hear from you. Yeah, appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And yeah, and then at one point they were like, the fishing guide handed me a fly rod. He's like, hey, do you want to, you know, we're just here in a drift boat. You want to, you know, cast a line out there too? I said, okay. And then shortly thereafter, I got a fish on. Man, it was just so fun. But yeah. Let's see. Who do we got next? We got Chris in Billings. Chris wanting to weigh in on the big story about James Comey, the disgraced FBI director, James Comey. Can you believe this guy?
No, I can't. You can't trust anything out of his mouth.
What a liar. What a fraud.
What's cool is how much the president lives in their minds. That's one thing. And him... there is no excuse for ignorance of the law. He's calling for the death of the president. Did you see the...
Your call broke up a little
47.
Bit there. Say again?
86. Did you see the snapshot of the seashells?
Yes, yeah.
He lined them up, say, 86-47, which means kill President Trump.
Yeah, when I saw that story yesterday, so as somebody who worked in the restaurant business, you know, high school and college, to me, 86 meant You're kicking somebody out. They can't come back to the restaurant ever again. So Comey could have said, look, when I talked about 86 and 47, what I meant with those seashells was that he needs to be thrown out. He needs to be kicked out of office. But because law enforcement would have a different interpretation of what the number 86 means, and he knows that. But he didn't even try to do the restaurant defense. He didn't even try to do that. He just said, oh, I didn't know that it meant violence. I don't support violence. You lying sack of Adam Schiff.
His quote is, I think this is political. I'm not sure. But, come on. I'm sorry. I have to get off my soapbox here. That guy has no credibility. He knows that.
But he's a disgrace.
Again, how Trump lives in their minds. I get through the day because of that. So,
yeah. He's walking on, and this isn't the first time he was walking on the beach thinking of Donald J. Trump. I mean, I think it was the national radio talk show host. Why am I spacing his name? The Daily Caller guy. Anyway, he pointed out how another post from a year ago where James Comey was walking down the beach and saw Vote Harris on the seashells. I mean,
oh come on.
What a wuss.
Good talking to you, Aaron.
Hey, good talking to you.
I'm heading out of town. I'll see you.
All right. Have a good weekend. Yeah, that's the other thing about James Comey. Not only is he a disgrace, not only is he a fraud, not only is he a liar, he's a wuss. He's a coward. Let me go. Yeah, here we go. Oh, it's Vince Colianese. There we go. Vince Colianese shared this. Weird how Comey keeps finding seashells that express all his nutty views. And he shared a seashell back in October of 2024. Vote Harris. But here's why he's a coward, is that when he's confronted about his little 86, 47 seashells on the beach, A, he lies about it. Oh, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. And then he deletes the post. So he's a coward who can't even say, yeah, here's why I posted it. And explain himself. No, instead he just deletes the post and cowers away back in the corner. Kind of like with the whole Hillary Clinton thing. James Comey, remember, when he gets on national TV and he lays out the whole case, he lays out all the evidence how Hillary Clinton had violated federal law repeatedly, but then he was too big of a coward to actually press charges, to move forward with charges against Hillary Rodham Clinton. The guy is a straight-up coward, but he loves to talk so tough on TV against Donald J. Trump, doesn't he? Man. Let's see. Clinton Bozeman, stand by. Clinton Bozeman, we will get to you right after this. Yeah, Peter Ducey, you might have missed it as well, but Peter Ducey had a great rundown of the 86-47 story. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night. I kicked off the 6 o'clock hour by playing that, but I need to play that again. Maybe I'll save that one for the 8 o'clock hour because I want to get to birthright citizenship, and I think Clinton Bozeman wants to weigh in on that as well.
ChatGPT Plus is free for college students through May. Here's the thing. You've got a lot to do between now and then. Studying for finals, writing papers, trying to keep your life on track, and ChatGPT can help with all of it. It can quiz you for your econ exam, make a study guide from your French notes, plan out your meals and study breaks. It can get really specific on how you like to learn. It can even help you come up with ways to stop procrastinating. So from now until summer break, take advantage of all the ways ChatGPT can make your life easier. Restrictions apply.
Fox News commentary.
The teen accused of stabbing another teen to death at a track meet will be allowed to graduate. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Carmelo
Anthony, the Texas teen who allegedly, though admittedly, stabbed fellow teen Austin Metcalf to death at a track meet, will be allowed to graduate. Even though he's been out of school the last month and a half, and even though he's facing a murder charge, the activist group supporting him was able to work out a deal with the school district so he can receive his diploma. Next Generation Action Network calls this perk a student-focused resolution, a moment of dignity for Carmelo, and a reminder of the power of advocacy done right. Well, Austin Metcalf won't graduate. He's not entitled to student-focused resolution or a moment of dignity because Austin Metcalf was stabbed to death. The way Carmelo Anthony has been uplifted as a hero and a martyr is disgusting and despicable. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers, a few thundershowers developing, mainly in the afternoon. High temperature readings will range from the upper 50s to the mid-60s. For tonight, some scattered showers possible early. Temperatures will then drop back off to the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. All 4 hours of the show every day goes on our Montana Talks podcast. You can get it on the Montana Talks app, or if you use streaming services like Spotify, you can get the Montana Talks podcast there as well. If you only listen to one segment of the podcast, listen to Wednesday's 8 o'clock hour. We had Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer. We had Dr. Merdad Kia from the University of Montana.
Or Pure Talk for your free Samsung Galaxy with qualifying plan. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for American.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, by the way, you know, I mentioned volunteering for Warriors in Quiet Waters. Tomorrow, out at the Quiet Waters Ranch outside of Belgrade, Montana, they're doing their big Legacy Day event. And, of course, Warriors in Quiet Waters CEO Brian Gilman, retired U.S. Marine Corps colonel, Butte, Montana kid. He's going to be delivering a State of the Organization address. And then they've got another incredible speaker as well. I just met him a couple of weeks ago in Bozeman. He lives up in the Flathead Valley now. Command Sergeant Major retired Patrick McCauley. Wow, what a background. He was the Command Sergeant Major for all of SOCOM, the SOCOM Command Sergeant Major, and he's got an incredible special operations background. So for those of you that can make it out there, Saturday, I think it starts at 10 a.m. Let's see, speaking of Bozeman, Clint in Bozeman, great to hear from you. What's your thoughts on this whole birthright citizenship debate?
Well, I want to kind of settle this thing as far as I'm concerned. When they came over on the Mayflower, there was various different races. It wasn't all one race. When we fought the Revolutionary War, the French were here, and the Spanish were here. There was a lot of other nations that were here that had children here prior to July 23rd of 1868. Now, they are basing the 14th Amendment, what they're talking about now, is on the blacks, when we brought the black people in here after the Revolution, and they were here before that also. So what has happened is the 14th Amendment means exactly what it says. And if you read the minutes of Madison, you'll see what I'm saying, that if the people are born here, the woman comes here and has a child, and it says right in the 14th Amendment that she becomes an American citizen. Now, what they're trying to do is to twist what the 14th Amendment says. Now, the only way you can do that is amend it by two-thirds of the states.
Yeah. Instead, they try to do it through a Supreme Court ruling. Yeah. Yeah, so, ratified July 1868. This is the 14th Amendment here, and to Clint's point here, the 14th Amendment. So if the 14th Amendment, as the left wants you to believe, was to grant citizenship to any baby born on American soil, then how come Native Americans weren't afforded that right?
and right to vote, etc., until several years later, right? It's because if anybody should have been citizens at birth and given the right to vote and things like that, it was Native Americans, right? And yet they were here, and yet the 14th Amendment didn't automatically provide for that. And so that tells you that they have been twisting this to allow anybody and everybody from all over the world to flood into this country illegally, simply give birth to a baby, and then boom, American citizenship. It's a complete outrage. Ted Cruz was on with Sean Hannity last night talking about this birthright citizenship case at the court right now.
Senator, lawyer, brilliant in his own right, Ted Cruz. Senator, let me see if I understand this. Birthright citizenship. Okay, fair enough. What if you're in the country illegally and you give birth to somebody? Is that legitimate? Isn't that what part of the argument is here?
That is the absolute heart of the argument. And I think birthright citizenship is terrible policy. It is right now current U.S. law before the Trump executive order that if an illegal alien is here and she gives birth to a child, that baby is instantaneously a U.S. citizen. The problem is that's an incredible magnet for illegal immigration. You see people crossing the southern border. You see pregnant women crossing the southern border explicitly to give birth in America so their baby can be an American citizen. We also have this phenomenon called birth tourism, where you have people from foreign countries, people from China, come to the United States when a woman happens to be 8 or 9 months pregnant and come here to give birth so the baby...
All right, well, we'll have more on this story coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps it all just comes down to language. American trade deficits are something many of us aren't proud of, and our current president is determined to address. But what if we called them capital spending surpluses instead? When we buy more goods from a country that they import from us, the net result is that they have more dollars and we have more stuff. What do they do with the money? The answer is buy capital goods from us. In some cases, that's financial capital. Think corporate bonds or federal government debt. Could be real estate capital, or it could be physical equipment like shuttle loader facilities in the Golden Triangle. And it's almost certainly equity on Wall Street, ownership shares of businesses large and small. Many of these things are good, or at least they could be, especially if those investments are used to grow businesses here. In the case of the federal borrowing, it's less clear, since debt purchases by foreigners just prop up deficit spending. That capital spending happens here because we remain a good place to invest. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.